October 9th, 2024, Amherst Town Council meeting to order. First thing, if everybody would please silence their cell phones. After that, we'll start off with the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Mr. Higginbotham will lead us in the invocation. If you're uncomfortable with either one, you may step out, and then Chief Watts will retrieve you after we do that. So if everybody please rise. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Father God, Almighty God, God of grace and God of mercy, we thank you for being our God. We thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. We thank you for watching closely over us. We thank you for watching over our town, our families, and all of our loved ones. Father God, we come tonight not just thinking about our own town and our own families. Father God, at this time we lift up all the families that are within Florida. Lift up each and every one that's in the state of Florida. We ask you, Father God, to protect them, provide for them, keep them safe, Father God. Keep the families together. Father God, keep their homes together. Father God, continue to keep the way of life together. Continue to give them a means to make a living. Father God, watch over them in your mighty way, Father God, in your loving way, Father God. Keep a close watch over each and every one of them and keep them safe, Father God. And as we go about tonight's meeting, Father God, we invite you into the meeting. We ask you to take over the meeting, Father God, and see that all we do bring praise and glory to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, just a reminder on public comment, you have 3 minutes, and in which time I'll stop. So, first on the list is Mr. Tim White. Where?
Good evening, Council. Good evening, Mayor. I just want to update and maybe let some people know what's going on within the Amherst Mountain Biking Club. On a meeting, Town Council meeting in August, we were mentioned towards the end of the meeting, and a conversation has started between the economic development. We went to their meeting. We were on the agenda in September. We talked to economic development. They were come back to us with a proposal. And we put a post together and got a map of some trails. We got that together between that meeting. We were told to do that, and it was a good meeting, and everybody on the board seemed to be open to the idea. Between that meeting, we went to a zoning and planning committee meeting, just so those people on that meeting kind of knew what was going on, just to fill them in, and during citizen comment, to let them know that we were working towards this goal. Since that time, we've been back to the economic development in this month and had a meeting. We gave them a proposal. I believe they all unanimously accepted the proposal and going to go forward with the next step in the town's business of looking at this proposal. And I invite anybody that has any question that sits on town council, it's always better, I think, to get an idea of what's going on before, instead of getting floored or hit with something that, you know, when it gets to y'all, I'm sure you'll do your homework and your duty, but as y'all know, I like to talk. If anyone wants to talk to me about it, or anybody wants to talk to anybody in the club, please reach out to us. Mike Hansen, which I made a mistake the last meeting we had, I accidentally called him vice president. He is the president. his Walter property. Alex Motley put a beautiful proposal together in writing. And everything looks good on our end, and I just want to invite the town council to reach out to us. I've invited John multiple times. You know, there's different skill levels we're trying to achieve, more friendlier, better atmosphere, better accessibility. Of course, you have the lighting and all that too, but anybody wants to come out and see our pretty trail system, they're more welcome to go with me to Bedford to look at the parks they have on their industrial park, their trail system. We're actually going to ride there tomorrow, me and my wife. So, just wanted to fill in town council and let them know where we're at. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Mr. Sundermark.
Mr. Mayor, council members, I want to thank Councilman Watts for his request to the whole council to reconsider allowing more affordable paving options in town, and I would just like to encourage the rest of the council to support Councilman Watts' motion. Thank you.
Okay, next I will entertain a motion to accept the minutes from the September 11th meeting of this presented.
I'll make that motion.
A motion from Ms. Turner. We have a second.
Second.
Any discussion? There being none. Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
Mr. Watt.
Aye.
Ms. Higginbotham.
Aye.
Ms. Turner.
Aye.
And Mr. Driscoll.
Aye.
Motion carried 5-0-0. The next is check approval. Ms. Turner, I understand check 6346?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So at this point, I'm going to entertain a motion for check approval and exempt check number 4346 that was written to Hill Hardware. So I'll entertain a motion to accept the check approval minus the one item that we took out.
I'll make the motion.
Motion from Mr. Watts. Can I have a second?
Second
from Mr. Driscoll. Any discussion? Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Now addressing check 6346, I'll entertain a motion to accept that check.
I'll make that motion also.
Motion from Mr. Watts.
Second
from Mr. Higginbotham this time. Okay, any discussion? There being none.
No, actually, I'd like to say something.
Oh, I didn't.
That's okay. For transparency, I'd like the amount to be acknowledged, and I normally do that, but that's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So the amount of that check is $402.43.
Okay.
Okay. That's okay.
I looked at it and started to. And I just,
that's okay.
Okay. Vote, Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
Mr. Watts.
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham.
Aye.
Ms. Turner.
Abstain.
And Mr. Driscoll.
Aye.
So that carries 4-0-0-1. Okay. Next item, staff reports. If you have any questions on the staff report, please contact Ms. McGuffin, and she will guide you through your questions and what you need to know. Other reports, those minutes are attached. Now, moving on to discussion items. Consideration of VDOT proposal for pedestrian improvements. Ms. McGuffin. Thank you. Good to be back.
So we have been working for some time on different discussions regarding how to improve walkability in the town. And as of course everyone knows, the town conducted a walkability study several years ago in conjunction with the PDC. VDOT was involved in that study, and that study predates my time here. But one of the things that was on the council strategic plan for this coming year was to try to do more things with, you know, downtown improvement, pedestrian access, some of those kinds of things. And so we've been working very hard to try to find a path forward with things that were in that walkability study and other ideas that citizens had about how to improve walkability and pedestrian access in the town. We have worked at looking at what consultant proposals might be, and then we were able to meet with VDOT, and they have now presented some options to the town that do not have a cost associated with them. And so there's a couple of things I would like to go through. They did come to meet with the mayor and myself at the end of May. They did, a lot of people noticed them doing surveying work around the circle and on Second Street, and so this is kind of following up on what they did, and hopefully the monitors will cooperate because they're being a little bit squirrely tonight. But the first thing I want to show you, and this is the, I'm going to have to tell you where we are because it is not, the circle is not oriented geographically correctly, which for me is like, I have to stare at it for a minute. In the top right-hand corner is CVS, and the red line you see in front of CVS, they have noted that there is an ability to put a sidewalk there. That was something we were told would not happen previously, but as they've done additional surveying work, they have noted that it is possible to put a sidewalk there. They do not believe there is good crossing from CVS across the street. So lower right-hand corner is the filling station. They don't find good crossing there. But in their reading of the ADA law, if you can make your way around the other direction, it's still valid. So they've noted a red line, so top left-hand corner, where Mike Scott's property is along the White Real Estate Building, and you see the red line there, that would be an improved sidewalk. They looked at improved pedestrian landing zones to cross to the Marathon, bottom left, and you see improvements there, along with the crossing through the median to go to the filling station, bottom right. So they've looked at, there are options on how to improve pedestrian access at the circle. At the same time, they looked along Second Street because we presented to them concerns about being able to have pedestrians move safely on Second Street. So one concern we had was the ability to cross where you've got the businesses. Let's see if I can get this to not, there we go. Nope, it just went down there. Okay. So they looked at two locations close to the traffic light. One of them would be almost directly across from Cindy's Closet. One is a little bit further down Second Street towards Second Stage. They prefer the location closer to Cindy's Closet. What they noted there is you would lose a parking, an on-street parking space on the side of the road where the county parking is. So that's where you kind of see the green is where they'd have to ramp it up. The bottom line is anytime you are doing pedestrian access because of the ADA requirements, you have to meet slope criteria, all of the spacing, turning radius, and so forth. So the challenge on Second Street, and we've talked about this a little bit kind of with the council, is the fact that anytime we talk about making improvements on Second Street, we're likely talking about losing parking spaces. So in this case, you would lose one parking space to gain that ability to make a safe crossing in the business area. The next one is actually to, it's really wonderful when technology does what we want it to, but the screen is so small. The next one would be to add a crosswalk across from the Presbyterian Church. In that location, you would lose two spaces, probably in front of the Presbyterian Church, and the on-street parking in front of 170, which is a residence, in order to expand the sidewalk and actually have a crosswalk. Because in that location, the sidewalk goes from one side of Second Street to the other side of Second Street. There is no crosswalk at all, and it doesn't even line up. So this would allow you to line the sidewalks up, improve the sidewalks, and put in a proper crosswalk. VDOT has noted that these improvements, their estimate is that these are $3 million worth of improvements. Wow. So they're noting that these are expensive. At the same time, they have proposed doing a kind of broader design study that would include citizen participation. These elements would be included in that. All of this work is really leading towards our ability to apply for grant funding through Smart Scale. So Smart Scale would be the preferred grant funding mechanism through VDOT on this. It is a 2-year and every other year application cycle. if we move on this now, their hope is to be able to get the necessary studies and citizen participation done so that we will be lined up to apply for the next round of smart scale funding. They do feel like this would be a very favorably reviewed application due to the number of improvements that can be made with the amount of money. They have emphasized that there is no cost to the town for any of this stage of the review. The only point that there is a cost to the town is if you apply for smart scale funding and you receive smart scale funding and then you decide you don't want to do that work after you have accepted the funding, then you pay for that design work. And they have had to do that because every so often there have been changeovers in boards or councils, and one board or council approved it, and then the next one got elected, and then the one that got elected decided that they didn't like that idea, and then they actually tried to kind of pull back on it. And VDOT had to go explain to them, you now owe us, I don't remember what it was, $600,000 or $800,000 in design work if you don't move forward with this, because this is where we are in the project. That was, interestingly enough, in Cumberland County. So a smart scale project that I had applied for while I was there. So, because they did ask me, do you know what happens if you know, I said, yes, I'm very aware. So this is something that I'm looking for a motion from council to work with VDOT on completing the language for this study to be done so that we can move forward with this. Like I said, this would happen over about the next 10 months, and we would hope to be lined up for smart scale funding in the following year. So with that, I ask council for a motion to move forward with the VDOT studies.
I make a motion to move forward.
Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? I have one thing I would like to say, because I am familiar with a lot of this stuff through my membership at PDC. And the best part of this, which I find fantastic, is all the design work is going to be free. It's not going to cost the town, the taxpayers, or anybody a dime. It's free. And then if it goes to smart scale, it's free. So, you know, we just have to stand back and enjoy the benefits. The one thing, and I want to throw out, because I don't think this is going to happen, but I feel that if we turn down this offer from VDOT, it's going to be very hard to ask them to come back and do something else, because they've put a lot of work since Sarah and I met with them the first time. And, you know, it's like any of us. If we do a bunch of stuff, and then all of a sudden you go, no, people ain't going to be happy. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there to, because I kind of got it from an inside, from, like I said, the PDCs and the TPOs that I'm member of. So, okay, with no other discussion except for my rambling, Mr. Driscoll.
No discussion.
No, I'm doing vote now.
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheaton. Motion is carried 5-0-0. Consideration of updated personnel policy, Ms. Morgan.
So included in your packet is a proposed update of the personnel policy. The last time it was completely redone was in 2006. So I did not try to change or update the current one. I just started from scratch and completely started over. A lot of the stuff that is in our current personnel policy, we either do not practice anymore, the laws have changed, and it's no longer valid. So I have prepared this for you all, and I welcome any questions or comments, suggestions.
Just need more time.
Yeah.
I think it's very well done, though.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I appreciate highlighting things that we needed to pay attention to. I would like to suggest to council as well as mayor that we set up a work session, have more time to read it. It's very meaty, and I'd like to go over a few things and be able to have a discussion about it at a workshop if that's agreeable to everybody.
Well, and one thing I would like, we received the personnel policy, which was great, but am I correct to say that there's no before and after, like,
no, I didn't, and I apologize.
Which is fine. No, it's fine.
No, I apologize for that. But like I said, it was a complete redo. Like, I didn't even go by our current policy to get the new policy. So while there are some things in the new policy that are also in the current policy, I changed where some of the things were laid out. I changed the sections. I didn't think they belonged where they currently are. So I did not do a strikeout, and I apologize for that, but I did not even go by the current policy at all. This is a complete redo.
In your defense, I have this at home, the old one. I just need to go, you know, but it'd be nice to have it. Maybe going back to what Sharon was saying, not a reflection on you by any means, but it'll give me time to go back over it and maybe discuss.
And we should all have the old policy in our files.
And if not, I mean, we have it available. I can send to you.
It's nice to have it to compare. Even if you have changed it drastically or started fresh, it gives us an idea of what was and what is being asked of us.
Okay. And I can send that to you all in the morning.
Yeah, mine's packed away where we have to take stuff off the shelves and stuff.
And a lot of it's changed a little bit over the years. I think the last time we had an edit was maybe in 2022. So it's a lot of little PC revisions that's kind of changed probably since the last update that y'all had too.
I appreciate you sending it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, I will ask for a consensus, and I will get with Ms. McGuffin, and we'll work on getting a work session. Can I have a consensus of that, please?
I'm good.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. McGuffin, you have something to do. Next item is the consideration of paving stamp. Mr. Watts.
Okay, so first I want to explain how we've gotten to this point. If you remember back the meeting where majority ruled to not accept the new proposed standards for paving, I made the statement at the time, I said, it's too broad. It applies to every business in town, and I don't think it's appropriate for that. I still feel that way. But Mr. Driscoll went and decided to draft up something, and I haven't seen it yet, that's sort of puts standards on how it's constructed and what size lot it can be and stuff like that. So being that somebody from the prevailing side had to bring it back, Mr. Driscoll asked me would I do that. So that's what I asked for. I think he deserves to be heard and listened to and see what he's got for us. I know that there's the thought out there that this might be politically motivated. There's nothing further from the truth. Fact is, this thing was supposed to come up in July, I think. And for whatever reason, there were several reasons, Mayor, I think that we have to push it back. But this was the first opportunity to get it on the agenda. I know the timing is terrible, but it wasn't planned that way. So with that, I do want to say that some of our zoning ordinances we need to take a look at, make sure that we're on spot with them, because what I'm hearing is we're getting a pretty bad reputation for being business unfriendly, at least among segment people. So with that, I'll just turn it over to Mr. Driscoll and show us what we got.
Mr. Driscoll, hold on 1 second, please. With this coming up, Mr. Driscoll is going to present his thing. Now, when we voted this down, this was a council action voting this down. So we will have to, so what I'm suggesting, we'll let Mr. Driscoll do his thing. And we, or y'all as a council, has to vote to see whether it goes back to the Planning Commission. Because if it doesn't go back to the Planning Commission, it's done. But if it does go back to the Planning Commission, they get to readjust. And there will be a vote. And then if you have any discussion come vote time, that's where we'll have our discussion. Everybody good with that? Mr. Driscoll?
Okay, we had two council members back in May request that they did not like the recommendation as it was presented, where the option of surface treating was added to the ordinance. It was a vote of 3-2 to decline to did not accept it. And, but however, two of the council members said we want it to go back to council, to the Plan Commission. As a member of the Planning Commission, and in anticipation of it, I took a look at what's out there in the way of small businesses that have parking lots. What's the size parking lot for a small business, particularly one that would be on South Main or on 60 East or 60 West? As it turns out, we already have, I think, a pretty good example on South Main, and that is the Hair Gallery. The Hair Gallery parking lot is a little more than 8,000 square feet. So I'm going to be working with the Planning Commission. I have already shown it to them, and they are, I got a lot of head nods in agreement that yes, 8,000 feet sounds about right for a small business. So if we send this back to the Planning Commission, you can probably expect a pretty fast turnaround, and it'll come back as a recommendation for a threshold of 8,000 square feet for going from tar, triple treated surface treating to asphalt. Anything above 8,000 square feet on a parking lot, it's got to be paved. Anything below can be surface treated.
Okay, I have one question before we go to vote. Mr. Driscoll, are you speaking on behalf of the Planning Commission or on behalf of you?
Oh, on behalf of me.
Okay, because you said you felt sure that the Planning Commission was going to bring this, which gave me the impression out that you were speaking on behalf of the whole Planning Commission.
No.
Okay. With that, I will take a motion or entertain a motion to send this item back to the Planning Commission for further review and changes. May I have a motion, please?
I'll make the motion.
A motion, Mr. Watts. May I have a second, please?
I second.
And second for Mr. Driscoll. Now, any discussion? I'll start here. Ms. Wheaton?
Yes.
Mr. Watts?
I do have one question, Mr. Driscoll. It was my understanding that you have specified this with some kind of construction standards. Is that correct?
A construction standard?
Yeah.
For the triple treating?
If it was allowed to have the tar and gravel, how it would be constructed?
No, it's triple treated.
One time you mentioned to me it was something like what Amazon Garden had done.
Yeah, and that's triple treated surface treated.
Is that different from what a lot of people do?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, Mr. Higginbotham.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the small business and the size of parking lots. I was looking at like First National, that parking lot seemed to be a little bit smaller than the Hair Gallery. So how would that apply to a business, a parking lot that size?
If it is smaller than 8,000 square feet, then it could have surface treatment. If a new business were to come to the town and their plot plan would show 5,000 square foot of parking area, then its surface treating is allowable. If a business comes in and they've got a very large parking lot, no, they've gotta use asphalt.
Are there going to be more room for tweaking this?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
You good, Ms. Hinblock?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I'm good.
Okay. Ms. Turner.
So, in this proposal, is there any contingency for maintaining this? That the who's going to regulate this, and how is it going to be regulated?
How do we regulate asphalt?
You don't, because it.
There we go.
So you're not going to regulate this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How deep are we going to go in this?
How deep are we going to go?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah. This is going to be an ordinance, not a specification.
So over time, if the surface treating or triple, whatever that's called, deteriorates over time, then it's up to the owner to either, take care of it or not. Either to potholes or whatever that is.
What do we do for asphalt?
The owner has to take care of it or not.
Same thing.
Okay.
Whatever we require for asphalt, it's going to be the requirement for surface treatment.
Okay.
All right. With that, you've already had your comments, Mr. Driscoll. You have something you want to say for it?
I'm fine.
Okay. Now, we're voting to whether to send it back to the Planning Commission. So, Ms. Wheat?
No.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Mr. Higginbotham?
I definitely think we need to tweak this, but I don't think now is a good time. I think we should do it at a later time.
Okay, so I think that's a no.
No.
And Ms. Turner?
No.
And Mr. Driscoll?
Aye.
Motion fails. 2-3-0-0. Now, matters from staff, let's see who we got here. Chief Watts? Ms. Tracy?
As I mentioned at the last council meeting, the meters are supposed to be here. And the guys are supposed to start installing October 21st. We've gotten samples of what will be on their trucks, and I will send that out for a public notice prior to October 21st. But they will have magnets on their trucks for everybody to identify them with the town seal on them and their company logo. There will also have the door hangers available that they will put on everybody's doors once your meter has been changed out. The plan is, the way our town is broken down for utility purposes, is we have the town divided into four sections. The north end of town is section number one, so that's where they will be starting October 21st, is with section number one on the north end of town. It is my hope that we will start to get some kind of street schedule, and if I have your information for text alerts or emails, then I will send out a weekly schedule, is my hopes, based on their schedule, to those that are in the neighborhoods at that time. So everything should start this month on the 21st.
Thank you. Ms. Becky.
Yes, sir.
All right. Ms. Chief Black. Oh, Ms. McGuffin.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Sorry, let's try over. All right. Ms. Martin.
Several months ago, we filed a complaint with the Commonwealth Attorney because we thought Councilwoman Sharon Turner and her mother, Planning Commission Chairman June Driscoll, had violated the Conflict of Interest Act by voting and passing new ordinances to help a family member. The reason we thought that is because during the July 12, 2023 Town Council meeting, Dwayne Watts complained on two of our commercial rental properties. At the time, 469 South Main was being rented to display an inventory of sheds and is adjacent to where Dwayne Watts resides on June Driscoll's property. He also complained on 513 South Main, which is located four properties south of his mother's property and was being rented to a trucking company. His complaints were of too much noise coming from both our properties, and trucks at 513 South Main were causing his yard to vibrate. He said, I quote, "I don't see a benefit to the town from a trucking company." Since that July 12, 2023 meeting, we have received multiple ordinance complaints on both of these properties, An old ordinance has been enforced on us, but not on other businesses, and new ordinances have been passed that seem targeted against us. We have owned and rented 469 South Main since 1987, but now an empty commercial lot can no longer be rented without a building on it. Both properties complained on by Dwayne Watts have been shut down by the town through ordinance violations. We honestly believe Mrs. Turner and Mrs. Driscoll had violated Virginia law since Dwayne Watts seemed to receive special favors and unfair privileges while our individual liberties were restricted. However, Virginia law defines immediate family as a spouse and any other person who resides in the same household as the officer or employee and who is a dependent of the officer or employee. Therefore, we were in the wrong. A brother is not considered immediate family. No Virginia law has been broken. Your brother can file 90 ordinance complaints and you can vote on them without breaking Virginia law, but is it ethical? According to number 7 of the Town Code of Ethics, it states, ensure the integrity of the actions of the town by avoiding discrimination through the dispensing of special favors or unfair privileges to anyone, whether for remuneration or not. A member should never accept for himself or herself or for family members favors or benefits under the circumstances that might be construed by reasonable persons as influencing the performance of governmental duties. Perhaps on November the 5th, the voters will determine what is or what is not ethical. And I also want to thank Janice Wheaton, who gave some excellent advice at one of your meetings. You said if you weren't happy, you were free to leave. And all of our properties are now up for sale, and so are 3 other properties of business owners that feel the same way we do.
You're welcome.
All right. Next person, Ms. Sutherland.
Just to follow up on the previous comment, I do want to come out publicly and inform you all that last week I had a surprise visit from the U.S. Department of Health at my business. He had a complaint filed against me from a citizen of the town, Dwayne Watts, who is the same Dwayne Watts that has been giving trouble to the Martin family, who is also a relative of some people in leadership. Dwayne Watts has never set foot in my business, nor is he welcome to, because of the stack of personal property complaints that are unfounded and attacking my business, which was also a 100% citation-free situation. And I think this is a huge problem. The citizens, there's probably, I don't know how many do it, but there is a problem with the town ordinances being weaponized by this particular individual, Dwayne Watts, to harm other people on their private properties, as well as harm their businesses. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Jessica Robinson.
Hello, Council. I'm Jessica Robertson, and my husband and son and daughter and dog moved here to the town of Amherst last August. And so it's been about a year off of Sunset Drive. And we grew up in Amherst County, not in the town or not on a residential road. And now being a mother of 2 children, one who's 5 running around like crazy and one who's 7 months about to be running around like crazy, the speed limit on our road is of interest to me. And it is important, I think, from my perspective to share with you all why the speed limit should be reduced from 35 to 25. I understand that council and the town manager is seeking proper ways to, well, what the ways are to be able to reduce it. So that is a barrier that we're going to have to cross. But having children on that road is terrifying. There are people who go about 45 miles an hour, which is not a reason to pull someone over. I think we all go by the concept of over 9, you're fine, 10, you're mine. And so most people drive 10 miles over whatever the speed limit's going to be. So So 35 turns to 45 really quick. 25 turns to 35 really quick. So I think from Kenmore to Sunset intersection all the way to Roy Mayo, who has personally come to my house and said, I back you up 100% to get the speed limit reduced, that section would benefit from a reduced speed limit. And then those who live further down the road have an increased speed limit that's appropriate for, you know, the rural and county areas. So that is what I wanted to share today. And I actually have others here who feel the same way. Thank you.
Thank you. Zach Talapera.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor, council members, for giving us the opportunity to speak. Neighbors with Jessica. My family moved to Sunset Drive a little over, coming up on 2 years ago. We have a three-year-old son and a two-year-old son. Our youngest, which he is, uses a wheelchair. Watching some of the vehicles that drive by in front of our house, it's pretty alarming. We've got a decent front yard the boys like to play in, and even when we're right there with them, they can get away from me pretty quickly, and it can be, makes us a little nervous, especially with all the interest in trying to make downtown more accessible by walking, the town in general more accessible by walking. I think that something to make that street a little safer to walk on is in due order. We like going on walks as a family in general. The library is right there at the end of the street. Easy walk, and during the summer times, we even like to walk into town, down to the elementary school, play on the playground, things like that. We have a dog as well who needs the exercise. So, appreciate any consideration on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Square.
Coming back for more.
Okay, you got 3 minutes.
Yes, sir. I'll be quick with this one. Well, I listened to the VDOT proposal about sidewalks and cross areas. I'm just curious why there isn't one on the corner of where my business is at, across to the street where Family Dollar is. I've seen people literally dive in the weeds and the bushes, and if VDOT is doing the study, now's the time to implement such a crosswalk at that area. And even the crosswalk from one side of Main Street to the other, it should be, what do I know? But it should be an all stop. Why isn't all traffic stopped there? In other words, if you hit the button, they'll still run you over coming down 2nd Street, because the light turns green for 2nd Street. So if you're going from this side of Main Street to Family Dollar, even if you do have the light, there's a very good possibility you can get ran over. And there's not a handicap accessibility on that side of my 2nd Street on this side, I guess they have 2nd Street, going over to the other side. But I don't know if that's even feasible, but I don't understand why there's not an all stop when the crosswalk light is green. And I know they can program that stoplight to be an all stop. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Mr. Thomas.
Never seen.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, while you're writing that, could I please address the speed study and the sidewalk question?
Yes, ma'am.
So just to update the folks for Sunset, and the county attorney, the town attorney is on the line. She's listening, and we're still having conversations with VDOT to understand. VDOT is saying that the state code has changed, and the process that we adopted at the last meeting is not valid. And we're still reading it and thinking that that's what the code says. So we may end up asking between VDOT and the town, I think we're going to end up on the path of actually asking the AG to deliver an opinion for the state, because we're not reading the code the same way. So this is one of those things that, you know, we're not trying to go to war with VDOT. We obviously need them. So But we are trying to really work through this process of exactly how we're able to do things. If the town is able to do things on their own, that's one process. If the answer to that is we can't, then the process is that you would have asked the town council to request that process of VDOT. So we just really procedurally need to know which way we're going. But we are actively working on it, and it may just be a longer process than you would anticipate because of the fact that apparently this law isn't clear. So we're still trying to work that through. And Mr. Ware, I don't have an answer to the question about why it isn't an all-stop when the pedestrian light is lit. But there is no space to do a crosswalk at the light across Second Street. So that's why that crosswalk is moved further down for a mid-block crossing on Second Street. If you think about what they require, you have to have both a landing zone for the pedestrian, and then you have to have some kind of sidewalk that enters in. And there is no space there without taking up a significant amount of private property.
The far side.
So, right, so there isn't any way to make it work on that far side without taking up a tremendous amount of space, and of course you've got a lot happening at that corner already. So that's why we looked at the mid-block crossing, is trying to look and see if there is a location where we don't have such a negative impact on private property, but we still offer people safe crossing opportunities.
But the all-stop is a legitimate question?
That's a question I can certainly email our contact over at the Appomattox Residency. Yes, sir. I'll ask that question. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes,
sir.
Excuse me. The law that you're referring to, it would restrict your ability to change the speed limit on Sunset. Do you know which law that is off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head, but if you give me an email address, I'd be happy to forward you the code sections that VDOT's, I'll send you VDOT's attorney's memo as well as what we have looked at. So if you want to just give me an email for the meeting, I can send you all of that information.
Sounds great, thank you.
Okay. Matters from council. Normally I'm at the end, but I have a few things, or just basically one. I would like to start this show tonight. Those of y'all that were on council when we voted to have the canine program, one of the main points on the canine program was we wanted the dog primarily utilized in the town. Okay? As reading the police department thing, some things kind of brought me to wondering what's going on or what's happening. Officer Rose, who is the canine handler, on the 16th, 9/16 and 9/4, excuse me, 9/4, 9/16, he did community patrol at the baseball fields. That's in the county. And he had done it in the spring too, during baseball season in the spring. He would be out there with that. He says on, I mean, he has here, because number one is sitting right there, so I know this is true, that he assisted them on drug interdiction, one and two, with the drug interdiction in town. Now, when it comes to other things, when we said we wanted them primarily in town, 9/25, he responded without permission to the county for a narcotics search. 9/27, requested by one to come out and assist. So we're good there. It was approved by the supervisor. 9/28, requested by the county to track. He was unavailable. There's some more. Let me see if I can. Oh, sorry, I flipped the page over. Had it on back to both angles. Canine use is on 9/6. He attempted to reach two by phone and no answer on the radio. I inquired of Ms. McGuffin on this. Two was off, so why would he be on the radio? And the second was that he was off. He responded to him in 20 minutes when he could get back to a phone and make a phone call.
So you might want to clarify who one and two are.
One is Chief Watts, number two is Captain Robinson. they had a canine usage for the county, but that was in town, so that's you know, acceptable. And he assisted the county. That was, I know one was there also for the check-in detail. Canine usage in the county, 924. Then another canine usage in the county. Canine usage for the county on 930. And what draws my attention to this is, I think we had also discussed that he should have the permission of his two supervisors before he goes out. Because he's going to run into, and I don't know if he has, because it's none of my business, but he's going to start running into overtime issues, and then Chief Watts and Captain Roberts will be put on, well, we didn't know he was out. And if he takes out on his own, that causes a liability for the town. That his supervisors do not know he's out. Unless, you know, heaven forbid something happens. He has a car wreck or something like that. The first question is going to be asked by the attorney is, was he working? Well, he says he was, but the chief and the captain had no idea he was working. And so I have suggested to Ms. McGuffin when I spoke to her about this, because I told her the reason I was bringing this up, because this deals with a council issue. Council had made this decision. If it was just a police issue, I would have done like, you know, we do. I'd go to her and say, hey, this bothers me. But since this is a council issue, and I have suggested to Ms. McGuffin that there needs to be a procedure, especially if he's being called out by the county. I can tell you what the state police does, and there is a reason behind the madness with the state police, because I was involved in the canine program at the time this happened. But the dispatchers were no longer allowed, were no longer allowed to call us directly. They have to call the supervisor first, so he can give permission to let them go out. Don't call them. They stopped. Like, they would call me. Hammer Sheriff's Office would call me and say, hey, are you available? And I said, yes, but I can't give you an answer whether I can respond or not until you call the supervisor and he gives you permission. So I think that might, because I have two concerns. One, this runs into a lot of overtime, could run into a lot of overtime, which is going to cost the town and the police department. And the other is some kind of injury or some kind of action that causes injury. And if that happens, then if the chief and them didn't know he was out, that's going to put everybody, it's going to make the county, the town liable too. They didn't know he was out, because he'll be asked, did you just decide to go out on your own? And when they call Chief Watts, he goes, is he out? We didn't know he was out. That's not good. So that's what I had to say about that. I just wanted to bring that to council's attention. It's something I picked up in the, I read my packet. So it's something I picked up reading my packet.
Well, Mayor, are you asking for the council to give Ms. McGuffin a directive or what?
Well, I was going to let council think about it, but I do think, if during our, we can't do that now because it's just his council comments.
Right.
But I will leave it up to Ms. McGuffin how she wants it. Do you want each council member to just kind of talk to you and then you can formulate?
That would be fine. If council members want to let me know any thoughts that they have, obviously any time on a programmatic element that is approved by council, I would love to hear from them.
Okay. Is it? Yes, sir.
I would like to hear from the chief on this matter, if that's okay.
Briefly, chief.
There are rules in place. Some things have been addressed. But in all fairness, I can't go into a whole lot of detail because I do believe that they might be personnel matters and not in a public setting.
Okay. Because we wanted to kind of keep the chief out of this one. You know, I knew it was going to be a brief question.
One more question.
I would prefer not, because this isn't directed at the chief. I didn't want him to be put on the spot at all. So that's why I suggested everybody contact Miss Wheaton. Miss Wheaton. So I'm looking at you because you're getting your notes out. Miss McGuffin, and just let her know what your thoughts are on this. But I wanted to bring it to everybody's attention since this was a council decision. Okay? Now, sorry to take up that time. Miss Wheaton, it's yours.
Thank you. People get so worked up about our town codes and ordinances. I read where someone posted regarding Amherst, it's usually the people who've been raised in experience all their lives, like Amherst, who don't understand the uniqueness of what we have. Well, yes, in fact, we do. I believe I speak with most of our community members that say we want to preserve our quality of life, our standards of life in our town. Hence, we have ordinances and codes. I speak for myself and many of our community members, we don't want to back off of our quality and standards of life. You go back to the people that have served on this council for many years before I was even around, and they built the town to what it is today. I hope I will not be a part of the council that slowly takes it backwards, because if you do one, you dismiss one, you're going to dismiss the others, and then we won't have that uniqueness that some people think we don't realize we have, which we do. And we do work. And I was voted into office to protect them. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Watts.
I do have something, and I need to address it very carefully, because I don't like to blame the right hand for what the left hand does. The left hand is its own entity. I know some comments have been made about the relationship of Ms. Turner with Dwayne Watts, and it's true that they are brother and sister. But she does not control what he does. He's his own person. Now, I will say, with that said, I think that the town is being used as a pawn in filing complaints for different code violations or whatever you may say, because it seems to be a vendetta. Now, I don't know what the Sun Emergency may have done to Dwayne, but it seems like he's targeting them for some reason. I think it's an opinion that they've expressed. Well, they have a right to express an opinion. I don't personally know of anything they've done to Mr. Watts, but I do think the town's being a pawn in this thing, and we're being used, and they're digging up code sections that, frankly, were pretty obscure. But I know it's nothing we can do about it, but I'm just asking for this petty neighborhood fight to stop. It's got to stop. That's all I have to say.
Ms. Pinball.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about the circus situation that we're going through right now. And I'm not satisfied with it like it is by any means. I do feel that it needs to be tweaked, and don't think now is really the proper time. I have more questions and concerns I want to discuss with council members and our town administrator, but I do want that to be brought back up in the near future, and hopefully we can tweak it to make it more reasonable for everyone. That's all I have to say.
Mrs. Turner.
Well, I'm going to say welcome back.
Thank you.
And I am pleased that you're doing well and that your recovery is good.
Thank you.
There's a lot been said tonight, and I am sorry. I'm sorry that there is not unity. I am sorry that people are disappointed or upset with votes or decisions that councilmen make.
I'm one vote. And if you know me, then you know me. And I also want you to know that I sit here with the best interest for the town as a whole. And I just want y'all to know.
Mr. Dustin.
Mayor, may I make one more?
Okay.
This is going to be short. I think that while we disagree sometimes on policies or ordinances or whatever the subject may be, I think everybody sitting at this table is doing the best they know how to do for this town. And I think everybody's doing that. That's all.
Okay. At this point, I will entertain a motion to dismiss.
Make that motion.
Ms. Wheaton, second.
Second.
Second, Mr. Higma. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right.
I get it. I get it.